Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us.
I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Today is Trinity Sunday, as Chris has said. It's a major festival in the church's calendar. It's the first Sunday after Pentecost, and we are celebrating the central doctrine of the Christian faith. Yet for many of us, the Trinity seems remote and complicated, and for very good reasons, it has the reputation of being the preacher's nightmare. But we all love a celebration. We love birthdays, we love confirmations, we love end-of-term celebrations. And through the year, the Christian calendar, we have lots and lots of celebrations. In fact, for the last 6 months, we have been celebrating events in Jesus Christ's life. So today is not an event in Jesus' life. It's a time when we stop and we think, well, what happened? We've had 6 months of celebrating the most extraordinary, mind-changing, God-expanding interpretations. How are we going to deal with everything that we have received and everything we have learned during Christ's life? So this is where the church, after deliberations for centuries, put together a doctrine. A doctrine is a teaching. It's an accepted and agreed belief of the church. The foundational doctrine of our entire Christian belief system is the doctrine of the Trinity. And we must never forget the challenge that those first Christians faced, remembering what Jesus had said. We've said it this morning. There is one Lord, there is one God, not three or two, but one. So how now do we explain God when we have experienced Jesus and we have experienced the Holy Spirit? Now, it's important to say before we look at the doctrine that it's not a human invention. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity is, I would argue. So this morning in our reading from the letter to the Romans, Paul talks about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working together. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, the funny thing is that we do all know the Trinity doctrine because we say it in the grace. We say it in the creed, which if I don't overrun this morning, we shall be saying. And we sung it in our first hymn. I bind myself today, the strong arm of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. And there you have it. Three in one and one in three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in one God. Simple, really. Except, let's face it, it isn't. It's really very hard to understand. So if the word Trinity isn't in the Bible, where does it come from? Well, it was first coined by an early Christian writer called Tertullian, around 200 AD. Trinitas, that's the Latin word, we say Trinity. And he's the first known writer to use this term to describe the Christian concept of one God and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We recite the statement of what the Church believes the Trinity is in the Nicene Creed, which we'll say later. The Church, and it's in brief, it says, the Church believes that the persons of God to be God the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. God is Jesus Christ, Son of God, fully divine, eternal, not created, of one substance with the Father. God is the Holy Spirit, proceeds from the Father and the Son, and is fully divine. All three are worshipped and glorified as God. Now, the problem with the doctrine of the Trinity is it has been endlessly dissected and expounded in what I regard as very often incomprehensible theological language, which leaves most of us in quite a haze. There's one exception, David Britton, sitting in the congregation. If you want to know all the theological explanations, ask him, because he knows much better than I do. But worse still, it's put us off the whole concept of the Trinity. I very much doubt we go around calling ourselves Trinitarian Christians, but that's what we are. We believe in the Trinity of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there are many different metaphors that have been used to explain the concept of three in one and one in three. You're all familiar with the shamrock, in three joining parts in one leaf, or water, which changes its shape depending on the outside temperature, but these aren't really fully theological. So I'm going to offer my own non-theological metaphor of what the Trinity is. In fact, I'm going to do two. One is backed up by other people, but this one is my very own idea of the Trinity. And it all started with being given a bunch of peonies. So the bunch I've got, well, the bunch, now where's it gone to? Right, has someone taken something out? There was, there should be a little, right. When they arrived, these aren't the original ones. When the flowers arrived, they were in bud. They were all like this. So they're all closed up. So you can see there's the green leaves. It's very, very tight. So after a few days, they opened up to begin to look like this. But there were some that didn't. And so I followed the instructions. I washed them in warm water, tapped it on hard surface, which I curiously seem to be doing, but that's what I did. I have to tell you, it didn't work. They never opened. So I thought, I'm going to have a little look inside. Now, I'm not going to open this one because it's too beautiful and it probably will open. But when I opened it up, I found there were all the petals there, not just in not about to be, but completely formed, just small, but completely formed. And at the bottom, all these seeds. So there's this bud containing these beautiful petals and these wonderful seeds. So overnight, these have opened up. So do have just have a little look so you can just see what I'm talking about. So the bud has become the petals, and the bud has become the seeds. Just have a look, because it's more interesting probably than looking at me. Oh, there's the... So I want to tell you what I thought. I'll have them back, by the way, at the end. see if you had any other similar thoughts. So actually, this was the original one that didn't open. And I don't think it's going to work if it's not going to work. So this is what I thought. The bud is the Father. Protective, that protective covering, the creator, and the first image. That's the first image you see. You see the bud. The bud bursts forward. And out of the bud comes these amazing, beautiful petals They are the glory of God. They are God the Son. And you can feel them, and you can smell it, and you can touch. This is real. This is really real. I don't suggest you taste it, but you never know. This is the flower, the petals of the Son of God. And then when you get to the seeds are like the word of God scattered in the field, in the parable of the sower, where some people hear the word of God and respond, and others, choked by life's worries and riches, do not mature. So there you have it, in the peony, the bud bursting forth into gloriousness, with the seeds scattered to produce more beautiful, beautiful peonies. So I'm sure David will tell me at the end if it was heretical, but nevertheless, that was my image. Now, my second image is not my own, but it's my own interpretation this morning, comes from the early Cappadocian fathers, and it actually has a technical term, perichoresis. I expect many of you have heard that before. Anyhow, it's not just the early Cappadocian fathers who have really taken up the idea of the divine dance, but also Richard Rohr. Many of you will know Richard Rohr and like him. So I thought if we acted out the dance, that might help, gives another little image of what of what's going on. So I have asked three people to help me. Obviously the curate, Elizabeth, who if you didn't know is a champion dancer, and Merlin, because he's a friend of my daughter's and he wouldn't say no. Yes, if you move that out of the way. So, I think very often we think of the Trinity very statically. I mean, just look at them. Just look at them. I mean, they're not standing anywhere near each other, are they? No, don't move. Don't move. That'll ruin the story. No, they look completely different. But they're just standing there. That's all very nice, but there's no interconnectivity. Now, if on the other hand, guys, you can join hands, or you can do a Greek dance thing. Yes, but do a complete circle. There we are. So there we are now. Once you've got three people in a circle, and would you mind, just move, just, you know, hit it around, around the mulberry bush, that's it. Let's hope your children don't walk in because they'll think you're being very silly. So, now, when have a look at this. Could you mind just keep going. Don't fall over. There's no beginning, and there's no end, okay? They're all different, but they're getting on with it. Just keep going. There we are. And they've got a common purpose to keep standing up and not falling down. And also, it's fun. They're also looking a great deal happier than they were when they were standing on their own. So, using the metaphor of the dance, we can see the Trinity is made of three different persons who eternally cooperate with each other in a common purpose. This is a living relationship between God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's equality, there's diversity, and there's inclusion. That's a bit of social gospel for you. So they have stopped the dance before my instructions, however. But if you would just hold your hands in a line, now break down that, just stand there. Now they want you to join the dance. Now at this point, I had this image of getting you all to do a conga round the church. I thought I'd be really super duper. Yep. However, no, but I've decided this is really too much. But even for the Good Shepherd. So I thought instead we would do something else. The Trinity open up to invite us. The Trinity doesn't keep the love and the energy to itself. That wasn't the point. The point is the creation, and the creation of the world, the universe, the creation of us. And we are invited into this dance of love. And that dance of love is beautifully put in the grace. So I wondered if you would all stand up and turn and face the middle. Face the middle. So yeah. All facing in, right, okay. Now, and I want us all to say the grace together, but I don't want you to close your eyes, because mostly people close their eyes when they say the grace. Don't do that, because it's not about you, it's about all of us. And I want you to look at people as you say the grace, and then you can nod or you could bow or whatever you feel like doing. But you are then talking to each other. We are all in one big circle. So,
some people might not know the words of the grace.
Right, I'm going to tell you the words of the grace. I'll say the words of the grace, and then we will say them together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at each other. The love of God.
The love of God.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us all.
Be with us all.
Evermore.
Evermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Do sit down. Right, you can let go. Off you go. Yeah. This is our Trinity. I have something in photograph. This is the Trinity. Thank you very much. Right. So for me, the grace sums up the Trinity. We give thanks and we recognize God's grace, his love, and his fellowship. We ask for God's favor of grace, love, and fellowship in our own lives. And we ask for God's favor of grace, love, and fellowship for everyone, irrespective of who they are. Because God loves everyone, and we are to mirror that love back. And I think today, on the Festival of the Holy Trinity in 2025, the world needs love more than I can remember in my entire life. So I don't want the metaphors of my peony or the divine dance to either offend you or to upset your idea of the Trinity. Because in the end, the doctrine of the Trinity is a mystery. St. Augustine of Hippo said, "The Trinity is an ultimate mystery that the human mind cannot fully comprehend." He said, if you deny the Trinity, you will lose your soul. If you try to understand the Trinity, you will lose your mind. So on this festival of the doctrine of the Trinity, I'm going to leave you with some questions. Have you heard God calling you to be in his dance, his divine dance of love? Have you stopped those unhelpful swirling thoughts that say that you are unworthy when God is telling you loudly and clearly, you are worthy, you are worthy of me, you are my child? Have we surrendered to God's love and let God's love come into our lives? Have we tried to live out a Christian life of compassion for our neighbor as Jesus taught us to do? At the end, the doctrine of the Trinity is no more than words to describe the mystery of the movement of God. So the real question for us is God moving us in his divine dance of love?